KNX, AM and FM, Los Angeles.
Barker Brothers, certainly.
Barker Brothers' big midwinter sale starts today. $10 million worth of furniture and home furnishings at spectacular savings of 20 to 50%. Monday and Thursday, the stores open from noon to 9 p.m. Other days, 9:30 to 5:30. Barker Brothers' big $10 million midwinter sale started today.
Company that handles a lot of the comedy on his program, the curtain drops right between him and them before he has clicked the shutter. Well, I guess whoever dropped the curtain wasn't equipped to raise it again, or he wasn't in the contract or something, so there he was, and he had to crawl through the curtain, wasn't able to get a picture of anything but the stagehands, which was quick thinking. The picture came out. But I'll bet you that the account executive and the agency producer and the network and everybody were figuring that a lot of money was going to have to be paid back to the camera people. You perhaps remember the crime program. The murder had been shown, and the actor who portrayed the corpse assumed that, well, the camera switched to somebody else. You can't assume things like that. He got up, walked away, and, of course, everybody got a tremendous charge out of it. I don't remember the name of the program, but they got a lot of publicity. Then there's stage fright, and this can happen to the oldest hands. You have probably seen some of the early television programs when some great actors from Hollywood who were show people from the time that they were put up in a bureau drawer in some Fleabag hotel on a vaudeville circuit somewhere, get up and completely lose their lines, just blow up on television. There was a time that it happened musically. It was one of these lavish medieval banquet scenes, and of course they had gone to tremendous expense to set the scene. Everything was brilliantly decked out, the hall and the people, and there was a herald who was beautifully dressed. And according to plan, he was going to sound a fanfare. This was to signal the arrival of a group of nobles at the feast. Well, this fellow was new on television. He raised the trumpet to his lips, and suddenly he was overcome with terror. And he produced a note, the like of which you have never seen before, a small and withered note, and one that didn't fit into any scale, even the most atonal of aboriginal scales. And he sagged to the stage in a swoon. And there's mechanical failure, and you never know where this is going to crop up. Like the time in The Honeymooners when Jackie Gleason walked off the stage and slammed a door, and when Jackie Gleason slams a door, why, it slammed as it never has been before. Only trouble was he slammed it so hard that it locked and it couldn't be opened, and when Art Carney was supposed to open it right after him and come on in, why, he couldn't. Carney had great presence of mind and closed, or rather climbed through the window, there being no glass in the window, and exposed the fact that it was a phony window pane. The director of that will never forget it if he's still around. I haven't checked. You know, the heads roll so fast and fall so far in television that you lose track of people. It's almost as if they were elected vice president or something. The audience got quite a kick out of it. And there was that dramatic series Justice when an actor was supposed to shoot another player. So in comes the criminal, making a very hasty entrance. It was a live telecast. And all of a sudden, he was faced with the disconcerting realization that he had not brought along the pistol. Well, this called for very quick action. He grabbed an ashtray and advanced threateningly toward his victim and whispered, "I forgot my gun." Fortunately, the victim cooperated. It went off rather well, although I suppose they had to sweep a couple of producers and directors off the floor afterward. Then there was a telecast from a racetrack, and the jockey who rode the winning horse was brought before the camera for a few words. And the announcer asked the jockey how he felt about winning and just how he had won his big race. Well, the victor started talking. He was a little bit excited. But instead of answering the questions, he starts voicing a long testimonial on behalf of the sponsor. What had happened was that he was disconcerted. His eye was wandering. It fell on some cue cards behind the camera, and he just started reading. They finally switched him back to the horse race. Then there's a very lovely actress who is appearing on a program, and she was going to give the scores and highlights of the preceding day's baseball games. Now, there are some ladies who are real Ladies' Day baseball fans, and some of them who will watch baseball when it's not Ladies' Day, who can give you batting averages from way back and so on. But a lot of ladies don't know any more about baseball than Marge does. And apparently this young lady was one of those ladies. She had probably devoted a minimum of her attention during her school days and other ways to baseball. So she went along, wasn't having any trouble. After all, it was all typed out there for her, and as long as she stuck to the script, why, she was perfectly safe. And all of a sudden, she reports that Minnie Minoso, that rugged outfielder, had driven in 4 runs and hit a few extra bases, too. Miss Palmer realized that this must be a very meritorious achievement, and she departed from the script. She shouldn't have, but she said, "Good going, Minnie girl." Fortunately, old Orestes wasn't listening, or if he had been, as I remember him from his days with the Chicago White Sox, why, she might have gotten a hot letter, but he's a pretty good-natured guy. And there was a time that, and this involves one of the listeners to my morning program, I think he still listens, Bob Cummings. He has a good excuse for listening and getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. He says that being the director of the show, he has to be on the ball that early. But I don't know. I think he must have found out what I thought about astrology or something, because I haven't heard from him for a while. I hope we haven't fallen out over a galaxy or two of stars. It seems such a small thing. But anyhow, he and Gail Storm and Dinah Shore had rehearsed a song. This was one of those small things that could happen to anybody. They rehearsed a song sitting on a bench. And came showtime, and somebody had decided that a better-looking bench might be in order, one that was more modern. So they put the more modern bench in there. Unfortunately, the more modern bench had no back, as the other one had, and the performers got together, Bob and Gail and Dinah, and all of them leaned back at the same moment and disappeared from view. People thought it was an unusual finale and a rather lively one. There was showmanship, they thought. Now, then there was a fellow on the late night show, oh, I can mention his name, Jack Parr, the one that Mr. Levant appears with very frequently. He had trouble getting a couple of headache remedy tablets out of the bottle. I report this as something that you were probably familiar with, but I wasn't until Mr. Shanley reported it, because that is just too blamed late for me, getting up as I do at 4 o'clock. But anyhow, he had a little trouble removing these headache tablets from the bottle. So he figured that the funniest way to get off with it was to fill the bottle with water and take a swig of it, which he did. That was showmanship. That was fast thinking. Then he capped the bottle. That wasn't very scientific. He set it aside. The tablets continued to effervesce. The pressure built up and, bang, blew the dickens out of the bottle. He was startled a little bit, and the audience thought that it was a very good bit. There was a headache remedy you could count on to get at the cause of the trouble right away. Safe thing to do is put it on tape. But even so, that is not always so safe. Leopold Stokowski not long ago was supposed to be shown in an interview, but that's not what the viewers saw. They saw a ballet from the week before. What happened was that somebody just grabbed the wrong roll of tape and put it on the machine, and that's what they got. Then when the Irish playwright Sean O'Casey was supposed to be interviewed, instead, Amon de Valera appeared. And unfortunately, there was a reviewer for an afternoon newspaper who tuned in the program thinking that he was seeing Sean O'Casey, and why, he didn't know Sean O'Casey from Amon de Valera. And he wrote a very learned critique of the program, except he had the cast a little bit mixed up. Well, they take every reasonable precaution in view of the large amounts of money that are riding. But things do happen in television. There are some people who consider that the bright moment of the day when somebody goofs on TV. I hope you haven't goofed and forgotten to get down to Penny's. You still have time to do it. And to remember that what Penny's is trying to do for you this year is to give you more when you shop. Whether you want to get more for what you pay or whether you want to spend less money, Penny's is the place to go. Look at the Christmas feature that they have on right now. Of course, the thing right now is wash-and-wear shirts. I mean the good-looking wash-and-wear broadcloth dress shirts. These things cost a little extra money, but they're worth it, except they don't cost that extra money at Penny's. These famous Penny's Towncraft wash-and-wears are priced at just $2.98. These are the shirts that are not only a blessing to the man who is lucky enough to wear them, but to the lady who has the chore of keeping them in shape. They are made of all combed cotton to keep that soft, comfortable texture. Won't lose their whiteness. They have been tested in Penny's laboratories side by side with more expensive wash-and-wear shirts. These Towncrafts come through beautifully. They stack up with the best, and they cost far less. Don't forget that price, $2.98. That includes not only the wonderful wash-and-wear fabric, but the styling. that 7-point contour tailoring. You get the new convertible cuffs, which you can wear either barrel style or with cuff links, the very latest thing in shirts. You're getting a lot of shirt there for $2.98 at Penny's. Towncraft is the name. They're wash and wear. Don't forget that you always get more for your Christmas dollar at Penny's. Somehow or other, we're always falling into conversations about the weather on these programs. Sometimes it is the local weather, and right now with the downslope wind that we call the Santa Ana or the Santana, depending on what school of thought you belong to. Why, a lot of people are talking about our local weather.
I actually pushed against it to keep it from getting my arm, and he had his upper jaw pretty well sunk in. He could not get his lower jaw in, and of course if he did, he would have had the arm. But I have no idea. I can't remember or even think how long it was that I was down there trying to get this thing off. I tried to break his neck by pushing back on his nose, and all this time he's pushing. They push to get a bigger bite. They squirm and wiggle trying to bite in like he would tear at something. And I pushed back on him and pushed and pushed, and I guess it was a minute and a half. I have no idea. And he finally let go. And, of course, this time the blood started to flow, and he circled again. And I went up to the surface for air and waited for him. And I tried to hold my hand over the wound to stop the flow of blood. And it was still this chaos going around there. They were just about finished. I mean, there was shark after shark getting chewed up. And I was right in the middle of pieces of meat floating around, and they were snapping at everything.
And, Duffy, it's a little chilly this time of year. What were you wearing?
I was wearing a short rubber shirt with no long sleeves. I had no sleeves on my rubber shirt.
Were you armed in any way?
I had a pair of fins, a mask, and a glove on. That's all I had.
You didn't carry any knife or anything like that, then?
A knife would have been not of any use at all.
Oh, that's surprising. Why do you say that?
If I would have had the chance to use a knife, which I didn't, if I would have let go of the nose, he would have got his... both his jaws in, but even if I did have the chance to use a knife, I wouldn't have used it. You can take a shark and slit its stomach and completely clean it out of all intestinal bodies there, and he'll still live for 24 hours.
Boy, that's news to me, and I'm certainly happy that you ran into this situation instead of me. I'd still be running or swimming, as the case may be.
Well, I can't describe my reaction to it, that except I knew what I had to do. And if I did it, I might have a chance of living. I didn't think that I had a chance after I drew blood, but like I said, it's just a once in a million. It'll never happen again. And if anybody said, if you drew blood on a victim like that, would you live? And I would say no. Your chance of living are zero. I mean, you can't actually live through that because the chaos and it was just a maddened group. It was just a drunken group of sharks there that were thrashing and biting at anything that came in sight.
One quick final question, Duffy. How's your arm?
Fine. It's healing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. Thanks very much for reporting to our listeners this evening.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. Good night.
Good night now.
Young Duffy Freiling, who had a most unfortunate experience with a shark off of Malibu. Folks in Long Beach and Compton well know the reputation of Iowa pork shops. The personally selected Western grain-fed beef is the table favorite. Its quality and tenderness is truly unconditionally guaranteed. And in addition to the savings you make on Iowa Pork Shop's finer meats, you get famous S&H green stamps at no extra cost, and that just about doubles the pleasure. You'll find on sale at all Iowa Pork Shops and Fox Markets right now the new reinforced nylon sponge. This is made of cellulose with nylon, and it has made the familiar dish mops and dishcloth, cleaning rags, floor mops, and so forth truly things of the past. Modern housewives, whether they be brides or experienced or mature matrons, look for the sparkling, clean new packages of nylons to replace those tiresome old cleaning rags. The advantage of the softer, stronger, more absorbent sponge are almost infinite. Its absorbency makes it ideal choice for dishwashing, for cleaning silver, fine pottery, glassware, and you can use it all the way up to such things as cleaning the family automobile. So you look for those nylon sponges at all Iowa pork shops and Fox Markets. Well, now that we've had a report on a shark attack by Duffy Freiling, let's listen in on our This is Los Angeles line right now and check with Mr. Conrad Limbaugh. Mr. Limbaugh is a biologist at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography at La Jolla, California. Mr. Limbaugh, how about the shark situation this time of year? Is this a seasonal thing? Are sharks more likely to attack at one time of the year than another?
George, we really expect more shark attacks over a worldwide picture in the summer times, particularly in the northern latitudes. But here in California, the situation's a little different. We have two sharks that are cool water sharks, the great white shark and the blue shark, which both have on occasion attacked man. This is, of course, very, very rare.
Well, Mr. Limbaugh, we have had rumors and speculation about the best way to avoid a shark attack once you find yourself in the middle of a school of shark. These range all the way from using goose grease on your body to swimming underwater. Is there any known effective way of preventing a shark from attacking?
Well, sharks are a very diverse group. There are several hundred different kinds, and each has its own habits and personalities, and even within one kind, there may be a variety of personalities from the time it's a young one till the time it's an adult, and whether it's male or female, and whether it's hungry or just been fed. And it's very difficult to say what to do when a shark attacks you. Usually the person that's attacked by a shark doesn't see the shark until after it's all over. But in general, if a shark hangs around, or if you see a large shark in the area, the thing to do is get out of water.
There's nothing like putting
it. Any shark repellent has some effect, but it's not 100% effective. And we don't know if it's effective against all sharks, but we do know that it's effective against some.
Mr. Limbaugh, is it true that if a person or an animal or a fish is wounded in the water, that this will incite a shark to attack?
They are very sensitive to blood, at least some of them. Of course, some sharks feed on crabs and plankton and things, but those that we consider the dangerous types frequently are excited by blood, particularly fish blood.
Is there any such thing as a small shark being dangerous, Mr. Limbaugh?
A small shark?
Yes, sir.
I would consider any shark that was aggressive dangerous. I've been chased out of water by a shark only about 2.5 feet long.
Any shark worthy of the name is a dangerous shark, huh?
Well, not necessarily, but I mean, there are a large number of sharks that are completely harmless.
Mr. Limbaugh, I'm glad that you're with the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, and I'm not, because it has been most informative and interesting chatting with you this evening. Thanks very much for being on our program.
Okay, fine.
Good night, sir.
Bye.
Mr. Conrad Limbaugh, biologist of the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, telling us about sharks on This Is Los Angeles. Well, the steel strike situation is certainly reaching a lot of people these days, and on our This Is Los Angeles line right now, we have Mr. Harry Blair, the regional manager of public relations for the General Motors Corporation. Mr. Blair, in view of the fact that we have had news reports that General Motors has suspended operation due to a shortage of steel in this territory, we're interested in knowing, has the steel strike closed all the General Motors plants in the Los Angeles area?
Yes, George. They're all closed with the exception of the Delco battery plant located in Anaheim. Our Chevrolet and Fisher body plants in Van Nuys and the Buick Olds Pontiac assembly plant at Southgate have been down since the last week in October.
Mm-hmm. How does this shutdown affect the economy of the greater Los Angeles area, Mr. Blair?
Well, I think when you lay off 6,500 employees any place, it is bound to affect the buying power of not only those employees, but their families as well. It might be interesting to know that General Motors has an average annual payroll of, right here in the Southland, of more than $40 million a year. Now, to that, you add $71 million, which GM pays to other local industry for goods.
But to the governor, if he wasn't sent into the gas chamber to die, he would commit suicide. 21-year-old Marley Pearson has been acquitted by a superior court jury of the holdup murder of Clarence Hall, a Pasadena Variety store manager. Pearson testified successfully at the time of the crime. He was in a barbershop 5 miles away getting his hair cut and listening to Tom Harmon's sportscast over KNX. Pearson was originally tried for the crime last February, but the jury deadlocked. Tonight's special report after this message from Beneficial Finance.
Listen. It's a wonderful sound of money. Money for a holiday season. Cash for any good reason. Cash. Call up and see you're the boss at Beneficial.
Take advantage of Beneficial Finance Company's Holiday Money Plan. You may get cash for holiday shopping, for leftover bills, plus your international identification card, good at over 1,200 loan offices. All this with Beneficial's holiday money plan. Say, isn't your telephone nearby?
Cash, call up and see you're the boss at Beneficial.
Here in the Los Angeles area, 90 Beneficial offices are within the sound of my voice. Your phone book, white pages for the office near you. Now tonight's special report. The Soviets do not have the capability of launching an intercontinental ballistic missile attack against the United States at this time. And we have no defense against such an attack at this time. This, in essence, is what this reporter was told today by Army Colonel Claire Town of the North American Air Defense Command. The command, in case you're wondering how an Army colonel knows of things airborne, is made up of our three services, Air Force, Army, and Navy, plus Canada's armed units. Colonel Town also emphasized the men of the North American Air Defense Command are constantly on the alert, that despite, as he put it, communist leaders bearing the olive branch these days, his organization must judge them only by history, which shows nothing but retrogression. On the subject of possible attack against the United States or Canada, and the West Coast is virtually certain to be dealt a strong blow, this reporter asked Colonel Town,
do you believe that the enemy, or labeled the Russians, are capable of launching a missile attack against the United States? And we're speaking now of intercontinental missiles.
Yes, I'm glad you qualified that, Pat, because as to their ability to launch an intercontinental ballistic missile attack, our answer today is no.